podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Thursday, 2nd of November, 2023. I'm jumping ahead here. My name is Patrick Smith. Delighted to be joined by Mr. McGimsey for a special pre-recorded edition of the show where we're going to discuss tonight's announcement of the 2024 Friendship Four. Yep. Now, how are you doing, mate? You all right?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good, good. Now, of course, we speak in the wake of last Saturday's tragedy in Sheffield, and it goes without saying our love, support, and condolences go to the Johnson family with the Panthers, the Steelers, and all affected. It was a horrible accident. An event that sadly affected so many of us, but ultimately has led to the terrible loss of a talented player, person, and friend. This will be something that we pay proper attention and respect to on our normal Tuesday show next week. But for now, our heartfelt thoughts and prayers go out to all involved. Tonight at, it's 7.30 p.m. in Belfast, 3.30 p.m. in Boston, where four universities have been announced as contending the 2024 edition of the NCAA Friendship Four in Belfast. Boston University returned following their 2018 appearance, and they're joined by three new names on the Friendship Four roster. Harvard, never heard of them, Merrimack, and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's the first university of the Big Ten Conference to partake in the event and signals a further evolution of this wonderful competition into a staple of the NCAA hockey calendar. But this announcement comes hand in hand with the release of Ring the Bell, a book recounting the history and success of the Friendship Four, co-authored by Jude Britannia, former Commissioner of Hockey East, and our own Robert Fitzpatrick. Now, shortly, Davey and I will discuss what all this means, and we'll hear from Jeff Baum about his experiences in the Friendship Four. But first, we have a few interviews. First up, we'll hear from the Odyssey Trust CEO, Robert Fitzpatrick, and Giants head of hockey operations, Steve Thornton. And then we'll have a chat with the aforementioned Joe Britannia.
And we're back again, live from Boston, with the main man himself, Robert. Robert, it's this time of year again, and we're really blessed to be able to be announcing another Friendship Four.
Delighted, David. You know that I'm passionate about this tournament and the benefits that it brings to our club. So we're going to be in the August halls of the State House this morning in Boston with 50 or 60 of our guests and to tell them about the next iteration of both the women's series and the men.
Robert, feel the dream stuff here. Like 10 years plus ago, we talked about, we'll show some NCAA hockey on the screens and McCool's. Then you have these ideas. And here we are 10 years later. It was 2014 when Marty Walsh came to Belfast and said he was bringing the beanpot to Belfast. Caused a bit of a firestorm. The Belpot was born. And here we are 10 years later announcing a new one.
I think that's the genuine expression that our friends here have, where they're sort of going, my God, who would have thought all those years ago that you would be bringing, you know, 20 schools to Belfast, that you'd have sold out buildings, that you'd be winning competitions, that you'd have schools now right across the Americas wanting to come and talk to you about playing in Belfast. It's the stuff of dreams, as you said, Debbie, but you know, a lot of hard work, a lot of pressure in the flesh, a lot of commitment of we can do and we will do, and our American friends get that and they understand that principle and they return it in spades. So it's a wonderful thing for our club.
Before we go on to talk about 2024 Friendship Four, you're a dad of a girl, I'm a dad of girls, coach sitting beside you there, dad of girls. The Friendship Series, so important to elevate the women's game in Northern Ireland.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I think that the girls of Northeastern and Clarkson and Merrimack and Quinnipiac have showed us that the skill level of those ladies when they come to play. The way that we do it in front of the Two Giants game is a unique way of promoting the women's game and showing women that they can participate every bit as much as well as the men can at Thanksgiving. And I'm delighted to say that this year another two schools are adding themselves to the roster of the schools that have played in Belfast. And we're having the ladies of Providence and Princeton coming in January, I think it's the 5th and 6th, to play the Women's Friendship Series again. So I'm absolutely delighted about that.
And then that's focus on Thanksgiving 2024.
Well,
you going to give us the lineup?
Yeah, I think this year, I'm particularly pleased about this year because we've achieved something that Steve and I have been talking about for a number of years. Merrimack from Hockey East haven't been to Belfast. Their women have been to Belfast, but they haven't been to Belfast. So Merrimack are coming for the first time. Boston University, Steve's old alma mater, are coming back. We've managed to snare Harvard at last. Harvard have never been to Belfast. Harvard are coming. But the one that excites me the most is that for the first time, we've gone outside the Hockey East and the ECSE conferences, and we've invited Notre Dame to come to Belfast, and Notre Dame are coming. So as is our wont in the State House today, we have the four representatives with the four jerseys doing the full announcement in front of our guests. And I'm very, very pleased because it's testament to all of the work that we've done to make the tournament success, and all of the work we've done to make Belfast an incredibly welcoming city. It also means, of course, that we've now got another conference that we can potentially in the next couple of years recruit out of. So I'm delighted all roads.
Well, you've been Hockey East and ECAC for the whole thing of it. Now you've got Big Ten. Someone like you will be very pleased to bring the Fighting Irish to Belfast.
Absolutely. And not only that, but we've got another friend. You would have known that Steve Hagwell had retired after the last one. And the new ECAC commissioner is Doug Christensen. So yep. Doug, Doug and Steve will be at the State House today for the announcement. And Steve and I intend to sit down with them when we're finished to plan the next couple of iterations in 25 and 26. So we keep rolling, Davey. It's a powerful thing. It's something that I think is good for our city. It's good for our country. And I think it's something that we need to continue to pursue.
Is it something we can get the coach to come in and have a couple of comments on there? Is he?
He can't.
Well, you can pass the question on to him then.
I'll pass the question on to him.
The question I would have about the Friendship Four, especially Robert, would be, it's changed our league. It's changed the Elite League. 10 years ago, our Elite League had, it wasn't a retirement home, that's disrespectful, but we were getting players at the tail end of their careers coming in for one last hurrah. They were doing their masters or whatever. Now we're getting kids coming out of college, players that have played in the Friendship Four, doing their masters at the start of their careers and starting their career off in the Elite League.
Yeah, that's been a huge advantage of having the Friendship Four, is being able to get the younger guys focusing on getting their master's degree before they get to the end of their career. Because at the end of their career, generally, life gets a little bit busier. So guys are trying to pick that box. And it just seems like across the world, the hockey players are retiring earlier now as well. So a lot of guys just want to get it done. So it's great to be in a position where we're progressing players, both in with their life after hockey and onto other leagues in Europe that essentially pay more. So these guys now see it, like when they're at the peak of their career, they come across and they potentially are coming to us earlier and helping bouncing them on. So for us, that's part of what we are extremely proud of. You know, we're not only progressing guys in their life after hockey, we're also progressing guys onto leagues that you would be deemed as higher paying leagues in Europe.
Is it given you a different angle to look at recruitment? You know, looking at the Jim Vandermeers, the Paddy Dwyers, these guys that were coming to the end of their stellar careers, coming for one season maybe in Belfast. Now you've got U Sports, all your NCAA contacts that you're able to go and delve into.
Absolutely. And not only the players that get a chance to see it, because, you know, like our job in the summers is to sell the city, sell the team, sell what we do. And these guys now become our champions and ambassadors. So we've had a lot of players that have come and played in Teal that haven't played in the Friendship Four, but like they may have been pushed over the edge by somebody that was here who talked about how great it was, how welcoming of a place it is, how great the arena is, how good of our setup. So it's helped us in many, many ways, and it's a big reason why we've had success over the last 5 years.
And I know that with the advent, especially over the last 10 years, social media is so much more important now even than it was 10 years ago, when you've got the likes of Jackie Gendron sort of going viral around Belfast, and what she's actually doing is helping to sell Belfast to you, to that sort of level of players that probably follow her and her husband.
Exactly. You know, the more people we tell, I look at, like, early days, we were a bit of a hidden gem. You know, people came here and I think they were surprised how great the city was and how good the team is and how good the league is and how great the you know, the apartment and all that kind of stuff in terms of the things we tell people. But you know, now you can see it. You know, now there's an opportunity for players to see it online on socials, and we develop, like, you know, videos and stuff like that we can put on players' screens that gives them a taste of what they have coming. And then when other people talk good about what we have here, not us, because they're expecting us to sell, it's actually more meaningful. You know? So for us, that stuff is huge.
That's my Belfast Giants stuff out of the way. Back to Friendship for 2024. It's going to be you coming back, Notre Dame coming. You're obviously going to be excited about this iteration.
I'm supposed to be neutral, David.
No, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about it. Yeah, it's always good to see the Terriers in action. I have a little bit of a soft spot for them. They looks like they got a good team this year. They got some incredibly talented youngsters. You know, possibly the first overall pick in the draft this year, like, being regarded right now, and then a whole bunch of top picks. But same with Notre Dame. They play in the Big Ten, which is, you know, a conference of powerhouses, and we think that just their traveling support will kind of change the feeling in the arena of that tournament as well. So at the beginning of the season here this year, all four of the teams that are coming next year were in the top 20 of the NCAA ranking. So we've got some good ones coming.
So Robert, we'll give you the final word. And that's the next sort of 12 hours for yourselves in Boston. What's it look like? Sounds terrible.
It's fairly hectic. Well, I mean, obviously we the governor has very graciously allowed the State House to be sponsored by one of the state reps to allow us to do the announcement in the State House. So we're gonna do the announcement from between 2 and 3:30 today. It'll be the iterations of the tournaments. It'll be the announcement of the book, and then we're gonna have a panel of people that were in the room that first day in the Parkland House. So Sarah Fraser, Eugene O'Flaherty, Steve, myself, Joe Britannia, Steve Hagwell's coming up. And we're going to do like a question and answer around the memories of that first day, just for the nostalgia of it all, to be like. And then Steve and I are sitting down with the two commissioners to look at 25 and 26. And then we're going to watch Coach Keefe.
Heard of him?
Aye. We're going to watch Coach Keefe. He's playing some team in Boston tonight that starts with a B. And we're going to go and check out and see whether the man, the myth, the legend is the man, the myth, the legend, if you know what I mean. You know, so we're very much looking forward to that as well, David. It's going to be a happy day. Then tomorrow night, I'm going to see Harvard and Princeton at Harvard. And then on Saturday night, we're going to drop into the first period of North Dakota and BU. So it's full-on hockey for the next 3 days.
So maybe you could just take 1 minute to introduce our next guest who's coming on just after this and tell us a little bit about what this project is he's come up with. Joe's coming next.
Excellent. Well, I mean, Joe, as you well know, has been committed to this. Well, we had a funny interlude the other night where I asked him, when did you finally decide that it was going to happen? And he looked at me and said, when Steve told me it was going to happen. So I said, fair enough. Hands up. Steve gets his acknowledgement at last. No, Joe Britannia is a dear friend of Belfast. He's a dear friend of the Giants. He's a dear friend of the tournament. And it has been one of the joys of my life to co-author Ring the Bell with him. So with all of the love that we can give from our city, for the help that he's given us for hockey in Belfast, for the tournament, for the Giants, I am delighted to be able to say that I'm super happy that my friend Joe Britannia is going to be coming on to talk to you from the Beacon Bridge.
Robert, last and in closing, you throw a lot of ideas against walls to see what sticks. you've referenced Steve there and how much work he's done, and different people that have done their little bits over the years. How proud are you of Steve and yourself in making this happen?
Well, I mean, it is. I said it in the book, Davey, and it's probably the most fitting epitaph that I have for the tournament. You know, we've got a couple of heartbeats that work for us. People that have taken the program to levels that I would never have imagined. Remember, you know, I wasn't a hockey guy, so you know, I couldn't have done it without someone. No point in saying it. I could not have done it without. And Johnny, to that effect as well.
Yeah,
I couldn't have done it without the two guys. So that makes me proud that they were able to take something that they were passionate about and bring it to Belfast. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, and I've said this in the book, and I suppose it's what sums up who we are. Good things happen when good people come together. And on that day in Boston, back in 2014, there were a lot of good people in that room who got what we were talking about and came together to make a good thing happen. And I can't say any more than that. When I'm 10 years later, I can walk into a room and meet all these outstanding hockey professionals who we can call friends. What's a better epitaph than that for the friendship corps?
Well, I think that's a fantastic epitaph, because whoever came up with the friendship four, we've made friendships. I never believed I would be standing, as you see in the picture, yep, Steve Hagwell, call him a friend. And we've met so many great people over the last 10 years, and hopefully more on into the future, well, there's more to meet. So, look, more Robert, Steve, enjoy your time in Boston. Really look forward to the announcement tonight. And thanks very much for your time on A View from the Bridge this week.
Gibby, thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Joe, listen, thanks for joining us. Before we talk about today's announcements on the future of the Friendship Four, you've taken the time to look back at the beginnings and the legacy of the tournament and put pen to paper. Tell us more.
So it actually started about a year ago. I went to Belfast in November to see the return of the Friendship Four after our COVID hiatus. And Robert Fitzpatrick had arranged 35 interviews for me in a small room outside of his office. They did everything short of sliding food under the door, you know, every so many hours. But I talked to people from the staff to coaches, to players who played in the tournament and then came back to play for the Giants, mayor, former Lord Mayors. It was a great way to immerse myself into it, used a lot of the material. Came over here back home and probably doubled the number of interviews. And in September, we did kind of a mad rush. And if people know Robert or his style, he kind of dropped it on the printer in September that we wanted 25 4 weeks. So talk about a labor of love. It was really so much fun to revisit all the games. And the book is not just a hockey book. It does recount all the games and the statistics and things like that. But each chapter has a theme that was very much part of putting this together, from friendship to opportunity to inclusion to education. And and the photographs are really the star of the book. William Cherry, who is the photographer for the Giants, provided the bulk of the photos. And I'm quite proud of the finished product.
Why do you think this story needs told? What is it about the Friendship Four and about what was created and what is, you know, the legacy of it? What do you think it is that, you know, shines out from the book?
Well, I first of all, it was one of those, you know, this can't be done type of things, and the will of Robert and then the people to make it happen. You know, the governing body of college sports in the United States has never had any games outside of the United States that actually counted. The numerous teams tour Europe or tour other parts of the world and play friendlies. Robert from the beginning wanted this to be about real games, meaningful games, which I guess in a way showed that we were invested in it as well as the people that were hosting us. And coaches being what they are at every level, they like to control things, and moving games across the ocean, time differences, cultural differences, arena differences. The biggest challenge is getting coaches to buy into it, that there was a message here beyond the hockey, and to get over your fears of not being able to control the atmosphere. And then I think a lot of people, you know, we call our athletes student athletes, and quite often we spend most of our time talking about how we're going to get them to pro hockey, and we forget that they're students. And this experience is exactly what we should be doing, where it's an educational experience for the players and it advances their hockey. It does both. A lot of them weren't familiar with the history in Belfast. Many of them had professors that traveled with the team or actually set up courses before they came over. You know, the story of how the Giants have been successful in bringing people together, largely because there's no kind of history, a sectarian history of hockey in, you know, you don't, if you say your dad played hockey, you don't think, oh, then you must be whatever, you know. Hockey's a relatively new sport, maybe less than 30 years, I think, in Belfast. And it's had a great history of bringing people together. And I think we like to believe that the colleges have extended that dynamic of being influencing, you know, good behavior and bringing people together.
I think you just led perfectly onto what my next question is going to be with regards to the benefits and the legacy of it. Obviously, the benefits with regards to the student athletes. You know, we've spoken to so many who have come and played for Belfast or played in the Elite League as such. And those, I've always spoken about, some of them had never been out of North America before. Some of them had never experienced another country before. So to have that opportunity as a student athlete was second to none.
Yeah, we had, I think it was a couple of the women's coaches, and maybe the same for the men, said that it was the first time some of their athletes had been on a plane. And so they come, they see a new culture. The men obviously have more opportunities because some have been able to come back and play for Belfast or play in the Elite League. The women don't have the same opportunities. But we were, the commissioners, Steve Hagwell and myself, made it a priority early on because it's part of our DNA. To ask, how do we get the women involved? And, you know, we have a series coming up, the third friendship series coming up in January. We're hoping we can continue to push, even though Steve and I don't have the platform we used to have as full-time commissioners. We'd like to see a women's tournament. You know, we'd like them to have the four-team tournament, play for a trophy. I'm not even sure they visited the schools like the men do. And that's been a big part of the education, is getting our athletes into the schools, meeting the students, and such a welcomed feature every year is going to those, particularly the early games, the afternoon games, and seeing this cheering school children, cheering for whatever school visited their, whatever team visited their school, and they have their handmade signs, and we'd like the women to have the same experience.
Obviously, you mentioned yourself and Steve, who have moved on from your roles regards to ECAC and Hockey East. But of course, regards to Steve, he's handed it over to a former coach of the Belfast Giants in Doug Christensen. The future, obviously, the announcement today, the future of the Friendship Four, it looks bright.
It does. And I'm not sure that was always a given. When we came back last year, I think there was some trepidation that, we've been away from it for a couple of years. In 20 and 21, will the appetite still be there? And we had terrific crowds last year, and it was kind of fun from our side to see that Quinnipiac, in winning the championship, went on to win the national championship in the United States. And so, you know, we have come a long way in that there are people lining up to get into this event. There were a couple of sketchy moments in the second or third year where we were trying to convince coaches to come, and then once it caught on and people go back and talk about the hospitality from the people of Belfast, what a great city it is, what a great tournament it is. Now we're able to expand outside the East and look for schools in other parts of the country that want to come, and it'll give maybe even higher profile for the event.
Finally, before I can't let you go without mentioning that a few weeks ago you were named as this year's recipient of the Lester Patrick Trophy for outstanding service to Hockey United States. Many congratulations. How does it feel to have your work recognized like this?
Well, it's a little overwhelming. I got the call from Gary Bettman from the NHL commissioner. You don't get a phone call from the commissioner every morning. And first thing you do, you go look at the award to see who's won it in the past. And that kind of stopped me in my tracks, though I think they probably have changed how they go about rewarding it. The last few years have been, I guess you'd call people like myself, builders or officers. But in the early days, you know, there were some of the great hockey players of all time on that list. So it was pretty overwhelming. And you know, I can tell you very honestly, I've had a very blessed life in hockey. You know, you look at the resume, and a lot of people opened doors for me and gave me opportunities. And it's kind of funny in a way that you get to be 72 years old and they, you know, they want to give you an award for not messing it up. You know, you had all these. A friend of mine said, it's like getting a trophy on a Sunday night for having a good weekend. And I said, well, I've had a 50-year weekend, and now they're going to give me the trophy. So thank you for bringing that up, and I'm quite honored by it.
Well, I found it fascinating. Like yourself, I looked at that list, and you know, but my favorite quote came from Gary Bettman, saying that the first time I saw Joe, I booed him when you were in goal for Harvard and against his Cornell Big Red. You know, but that to me shows that, you know, your hard work within hockey comes not just from as an administrator and as a goalkeeping coach with the likes of the Bruins, but also comes from being a player on the ice.
Yeah, and I've tried. You know, I went to a school where. From the first day you're there, you get this message, either subtle or not so subtle, that you have great benefits for being at Harvard University. You should go out and do something special. Well, I wasn't going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a politician. And actually, it's half joke, half serious. My career ended up because I was trying to avoid wearing a suit and going to an office and doing grown-up work. You know, I wanted to stay in the toy department, so to speak. And so my entire life has remained on the academic schedule. My year early starts in September and ends in June. And even now I don't have my college commissioner job, but I work for a junior league and I'm still writing, and I work with a prep school, a high school goaltenders. So I've been able to juggle many jobs and tried. If I wasn't the best in any one of them, I guess collectively I've created a unique career, bridging playing, coaching, journalism, and administering, and that's why I feel pretty lucky and, as I said, blessed to have been able to put it together for so long and still make a living out of it, still make friends from it, and have opportunities like this to be talking with you and still being involved with this event.
Fantastic. Listen, let's bring it back finally to the book. When will it be available? How do we get a hold of it?
So the Belfast Giants website, and I should have all the details. You might know better than I, but the Giants are going to be the source. And so they'll be available, you know, at the Giants games through the website. I think people from the United States that order it, I'll probably be the one that will have a stack of them in my office and be mailing them from this side. And they'll be available, I would say, in a couple of weeks. We're hoping that, you know, they were printed in Antrim and W.G. Baird printer, and they're getting them out to us as soon as possible. The first 15 or so were boxed, and Robert had a very elaborate presentation made.
Doesn't sound like Robert.
Oh, yeah. And it was so much fun to watch him in the printer's office in September, because I don't know if they knew what was coming, and he took one deep breath and laid out all his plans and then said, well, can you do that? And I don't think he gave them a chance to say no. So, and they have delivered. So we're very excited about it.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Joe, the Friendship Four goes from strength to strength, and it's something the hockey community in Belfast are very grateful for. So thank you. And thanks for joining us.
And my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Big thanks to Robert, Steve, and to Joe. Steve's absolutely right, Davey. It's very important that we remain absolutely neutral in all of this sort of stuff. You'd not catch us supporting any one team in particular. It's worth remembering that, as you mentioned in your chat with Robert there, it's almost 10 years since the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, stood in the Giants locker room and talked to you about the potential of a tournament in Belfast.
Mayor Walsh, may I be the first to welcome you to Belfast, or I suppose looking at your family lineage, I could be saying welcome home.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's great to be home.
Obviously, hockey is a worldwide sport now, but it's quite a tight-knit community. It must be a source of pride for you that, you know, so many Boston players are now currently flying the flag for Massachusetts over here in the UK.
Yeah, it's great to see it in the league. I mean, I was here 4 years ago. I watched the Giants play the Bruins here, and just the excitement at the game was incredible. And watching people get pumped up. And the Giants scored first in the game, which made everyone happy. Bruins ultimately won the game, but they also went on to win the Stanley Cup. So I want to bring the Bruins over here every year.
Well, obviously, that was my sixth wedding anniversary the night we played the Bruins. And okay. Now it's coming up on my 10th. What about bringing the beanpot back as my present?
That'd be great. I mean, I think, when I go back home, I'm going to talk to them. I'm a Boston College graduate, so I'll certainly talk to Boston College. But I think for Belfast, it would be very exciting. I think people here love hockey. And for the young people that play hockey, it would be exciting for them as well. You know, they brought the football over. The college football, and I think people have to understand there's excitement around the world for hockey as well.
And obviously with our head coach, Boston University alumnus, and last year, of course, we had Chris Higgins, probably to score the greatest goal in beanpot history. You know, there's a good connection here between the Giants and Boston University.
There certainly is. There's a lot of connections, and your coach played with some kids from Dorchester that I know, Chris O'Sullivan at BC and BU, and knows a lot of players around there. So, and there's a lot of connections between Ireland and Boston, Irish descent, an awful lot of players.
Well, as you say, we've basically populated Boston over the years.
They so certainly have. Yeah,
it
yeah.
would be fantastic if we could get something tied up and have you back again.
No, it'd be great to come back, and that's a good enough excuse for me to come back too, to watch the beanpot here in Belfast.
Well, thanks very much for your time.
Or thank you.
Enjoy your stay in the country.
Thank you very much. All right. Cheers.
10 years ago, Davey.
Yes.
Almost 10 years ago.
Some of those questions age well, didn't they? listen, I pulled this story a few times on the podcast that it was first morning in the Ryder Cup. We were around at Heaney's house. We're having, fry and poker morning, as we always did. First morning in the Ryder Cup, and Robert phones, just get yourself down to the arena. Need you to do me a favor. Didn't say what it was. Got down. Back then, we weren't all kitted up like we are now. Barb Stephen Murphy's quarter zip.
No,
got a microphone stuck in my hand, and this big guy walked in and went, "This is the mayor of Boston. Speak to him." that's literally the script I had. Ask him a couple of questions, and obviously Mayor Marty Walsh said a few things that caused a bit of a firestorm in Boston when he said that he was going to bring the bean pot to Belfast. As it turned out, the bell pots came to Belfast, and here we are 10 years later, Paddy.
And today, obviously, we have the Friendship Series this year. Brilliant. With Princeton and Providence coming on the 5th and 6th of January to be part of that's the Friendship Series. And then the following November, as always, at Thanksgiving, we'll have the return of the Friendship Four. Now, you look at those four universities, obviously BU, you mentioned yourself with the interview with Steve. It's a team close to his heart, and he played for the Terriers himself. And you look at, as mentioned in your interview with Marty Walsh, Chris Higgins and the likes of regards to that setup, bringing in the likes of Notre Dame and Harvard and Merrimack just pushes this tournament out a little bit further.
Wow, so far we've had Hockey East and ECAC, obviously, and now Big Ten. All four teams are top 20 NCAA teams as we sit today talking about this, and it just extends up another level to what this could bring. And I mentioned in the interview with Robert and with Steve Thornton, the opportunities. It's changed. For me, the Friendship Four has changed the Elite League. Now, yes, everything drips down from the NHL. The game gets faster. The game gets younger. The enforcers have went really are a breed that aren't in the game anymore. As such, we still love the fast, rough, tough hockey. But that is slowly but surely going out of the game, and the game's getting younger and faster. And how I mentioned there, the Jim Vandermeers, the Paddy Dwyers, these guys that came in at the tail end of their careers, did their masters. Steve Thornton mentioned it. Guys are retiring younger. They're getting into life, real life younger. So they're coming out of these colleges now, having had that experience. And not just in Belfast, right across the Elite League, guys that have played in the Friendship Four or have mates that played in the Friendship Four have said, actually, the UK is a really, really good place to go and play hockey. So that's, what a legacy these guys are leaving.
And like you say, we'll hear in just a second from Jeff Baum about his experiences with regards to mm-hmm. the Friendship Four. But you also look at the last one that took place here in Quinnipiac, who went on to win the national championship, went to the Friendship Four, won the lot. There was a great photograph that they produced.
Brilliant.
of all the trophies on the ice that included the bell and from the Friendship Four, and just shows that we don't have duds coming to this tournament. We have the creme de la creme at times coming to this tournament.
Absolutely, and look how many. Simon has the exact number of how many have gone on to play in the NHL. Mm. My own big mate, Yanni Peretz, obviously, big buds from last year, going on, picking himself up an NHL contract, coming in here, backstopping QP to the championship. Brilliant. And then going on. So you know, you're seeing top level hockey here in Belfast, and now I think this, you know, with Notre Dame and Harvard and stuff coming, it's just elevating again to a new level.
Let's hear from, like, as the aforementioned player for the Belfast Giants. We've had so many of them come through the doors following the Friendship Four, and one of them is Jeff Baum.
Jeff, one of our Friendship Four alumni with Providence in 2017 and now a Belfast Giants player. When did you find out that you were going to be coming to Northern Ireland as part of Providence College to play in the Friendship Four?
I think it was that summer leading into my freshman year at Providence. We caught wind that we were going to be one of the four teams that was going to be able to come over for the tournament. And it was really exciting to find out I had buddies that had played in it before the years prior. So I was really looking forward to getting over here and experiencing that tournament and, you know, getting to travel and see a whole new part of the world and get to play hockey on top of that. It's just the cherry on top.
You mentioned there you spoke to people who played in the Friendship Four before that, which was 2 years before. What sort of comments were they coming back with?
I mean, a lot of guys said they had a lot of fun, you know, getting to do the tours and such like that, getting to do the Game of Thrones tour at the Titanic Museum and things like that was pretty interesting to learn about, you know, obviously not knowing too much about the history before coming here. And I think that just built into the anticipation of being able to, one, get to come over here for Thanksgiving and get to spend some time with family, but also getting the opportunity to see a part of the world that I had never seen before.
Now, we know your dad is a big fan of the Friendship Four, big fan of the Belfast Giants. Did he make that trip to see you in 2017?
Yeah, both my parents were able to come, and my fiance now, Jamie, was able to come over and get to experience the trip. And, you know, for them, they got a really good adventure and got to go on tours every single day. And, you know, with the big group from people from Providence, was just a lot of fun for them to get to meet more parents and to meet more people from the school, as well as getting to travel and see the wonderful sights that Belfast and Northern Ireland has to offer.
You obviously know that now. And some things never change, because your dad certainly does that every time he comes over as well. Let's jump ahead to the Friendship Four in November 2017. What were your memories of the participation?
You know, one thing that really stands out to me the most was we did a school visit. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly what school it was, but, you know, getting to go and do a school visit and seeing the excitement from the kids, just being able to talk to Americans that go to university overseas in the States was just really interesting. And then I think our afternoon game we played in our first game, there was a ton of different schools there, and I thought it was just really fun and awesome getting to see all the kids in the stands. And they had the little banners that they were pulling out, and, you know, they were screaming for different schools, flipping them inside out, not knowing what was on what side. So getting to see the excitement on kids' faces just made it even more special.
You obviously were here for a week, and then a couple of years later, the opportunity arises to become a Belfast Giant. Did the visit help in making the decision to jump across the pond and play in the UK?
I think so. I mean, it definitely had a little bit of a deciding factor to it. When coming over here right after college, I knew, you know, about the city and how the organization treated the players and how nice the locker room to the staff and everything like that were just from coming over here the one time. And I think that it made the decision process a lot easier. And I think that not only does it make it nice for guys to want to come from Belfast from college, but it also opens up the entire league, you know, for more college guys to know that there is this good opportunity to come and play in the UK and get to travel and, you know, don't have to go to Europe to get good hockey and come over to Northern Ireland or the UK and get to experience good hockey in front of some really strong fans.
If you had to pass a bit of experience of, you know, you're getting on now, you've got an A in your chest in the Belfast Giants, it's your third season, you've had a lot of success while you're here. If you had to pass maybe a little bit of knowledge down to some of the kids, for argument's sake, in Providence College, and the opportunity came along to play in Belfast, what would you say?
I mean, I just keep your doors open, keep your options available. I think that, you know, you can grind it out and get to experience something that you probably never would have had the opportunity to. I was pretty fortunate to be able to come over here in my first year and, you know, been lucky to make the best out of what we've had and had some really good teams and some great success. And I think that aside from that, I've been able to build really strong relationships with not only my teammates, but just people around Belfast. And I think that there's a wonderful opportunity for guys to be able to travel and get to experience things firsthand.
You look at the NCAA colleges, there's four being announced today for the 2024 tournament, and obviously we're missing it this year, which You know, we wish it would be here. You've been here for the Friendship Four as a spectator, and it's the quality of the play. It's the quality of the opponents that that each team are facing. It's just top notch hockey.
Yeah, it is. I think that there's a big comparison and a big jump from college to pro hockey, and I think that for people that have not really gotten to experience what college hockey is all about, it's a very fast paced, high intensity game. Guys get really, really physical, even, you know, a little bit more physical with the cages on. Guys are able to kind of be a little bit more reckless, having full protection, and they are able to get out there and, you know, get some good block shots. And guys are really desperate to make an impact. For, you know, for a lot of kids, college hockey is kind of the last route that they get to take on. So they make sure that while they're playing, they get put all their heart on the line and get to enjoy the game.
You said there a few minutes ago that the opportunity when you came here and you looked around the Titanic Museum, you looked around at the arena, and you live in an apartment right between the two of them now.
Yeah.
You get to see them every day.
Yeah, it's crazy, full circle. I think that coming here for the tournament was one thing that was just a great opportunity. Getting to take full advantage of getting to play here my first year was awesome, and then to be able to come back for another 2 years has just been really a blessing, and I think that really shows full circle that if you keep your head down and keep working, you can accomplish a lot of things.
A little bit home from home with yeah. Dallas hat on.
Dallas has always got a special place in my heart.
Big thanks to Jeff. Just to show, like, you know, we mentioned before, like, Jeff there with Darcy Murphy has come through. We've had Matt Foley in that last year. Guys who have had experience of coming here, and you mentioned it as well. I think you're absolutely right. It's not just the Belfast Giants where we've had players come straight from the NCAA who've played the Friendship Four and experience, you know, playing in the UK. There are a lot of teams across the Elite League, and it has changed the Elite League.
I think the whole focus on college hockey now, even U Sports and stuff, these guys are in the shop window. Steve Thornton has put them in the shop window for contracts in the UK. And I guess when these guys come to Belfast, we're almost trying to give them a springboard and the Champions Hockey League and all that we can give them to showcase their talents right across Europe, certainly in that early part of the season. Obviously, we want them to stay the whole year and beyond. Bomber, 3 years. Darcy Murphy, a couple of years. Scott Conway has obviously came here. Not sure whether Scott played in the Friendship Four or whether he was at problem. Yeah. So, you know, players that have played in the Friendship Four came here, had really good careers with Belfast, springboard on to further success within Europe. You know, what's not to like about that?
One other thing to mention as well before we start to wrap things up here is it was mentioned by Robert and by Joe, of course, is this book that's been co-authored by the two of them, Ring the Bell, which looks at the history and the successes of the Friendship Four. And as Joe mentioned in his interview, has a lot of great photographs from William Cherry and all his statistics. It'll be available from the Belfast Giants website, and it looks like it's going to be a good piece of work.
Can't wait to get my hands on a copy. You know, I'm like when it comes to statistics, but nostalgia is a big thing for me as well. And I remember being so privileged in that first year to sort of get the look after. We had it up in the corporate there, and they had the big cake, and but it was my job to get that from there and get it down to ice level where Glover and stuff took it off me then and got it onto the ice for the presentation. We've had so many good memories. We've met so many people I never thought I'd meet, people that I've made friendship with over 10 years whose names I won't mention because they wouldn't want to be associated with me. But, you know, guys with Marty Walsh's, you know, buddies and stuff there that first season.
That's right.
Absolutely great times. It's obviously every year almost tying up with Murph to have a wee beer at the end of it. And it's just been so much fun, and there's been so many good times, and now they're immortalized within that book. I love the story of the Bell. I'm sure it'll be in there. You know, just for people that don't know, it used to be the Bell from Templemore Avenue School. That was the bell that rung to get people in the morning to let people go home in the afternoon. And that wee East Belfast School now, that bell goes all over the world. So, well, not all over the world, over to North America back, but some great, great stories.
It's that sort of finish to the Friendship Four always brings the hairs in the end, because the idea of the captain going center ice and ringing the bell, I've always said it's just a pretty unique and a wonderful way to lift a trophy. But yeah, so that book, the Ring the Bell, is also going to be handy for me when you know, we sign players and I end up having to text either you or Sis and saying, did he play in the Friendship Four? Because it sounds familiar. I can just take the book. I'll just take the book and just check to see if he's in the book. But that'll be available. Ring the bell. It'll be available from the Belfast Giants website. The Friendship Series, Princeton and Providence in the women's hockey NCAA comes in January, Davey. Again, this you know, sometimes you feel the friendship for it does often overshadow because it's you know, it's four teams, NCAA 14. This is still a fantastic event as to come hand in hand with the Friendship Four.
100%, and I don't think it's being condescending to say, especially in this country, the women's game is still catching up with the men's game. So perhaps you know this is something we can do. I referenced in my interview with Robert, you, me, says Robert Thorts, all parents of girls, and we're passionate about women's sport first and foremost, and opportunities for our girls to do whatever they want to do. And should that be play hockey? Great, seeing pictures yesterday of Lily doing nets, you know, field hockey, opportunity to play ice hockey if they want, just to have those opportunities. And if you can't see it, you can't be it. So these girls, and what I mean by that, these girls can't be ice hockey players if they can't picture themselves in that. They need their heroes to be on their ice so they can go look up them. I want to, a bit like the Lionesses in England. The women's football in England is accelerating at a pace because visibility on television, ease of getting the games now, price point, all those sorts of things. You can actually see women playing football on TV now so you can go and be your hero. And that's what it's all about, going and being your hero. And, you know, I'm such an advocate for women in any line of work, but in sport, I think it's fantastic what we're doing.
My niece plays under 16 for Liverpool Football Club, and this week they've moved to their... This week they've moved away from the what was basically a joint training ground at Nuke Training Ground at Kirby to their own training ground at Melwood, the old Melwood Liverpool training ground, which is now exclusively for the women. So it's going to be, you know, the women's first team, the under 18s, the under 21s, the under 16s. So they're all in that same sort of thing. So there's investment, you say about the Lionesses, there's investment going into women's sport going right across the board. And I think that, you know, my niece is going to see that. It's wonderful that this is happening. And the Friendship Series on the 5th and 6th of January, and no doubt it'll be as brilliantly supported as the Friendship Four has been in years gone by.
Yeah.
And I think that wraps everything up. As I say, fantastic to hear of a new edition of the Friendship Four series. Those teams again are Boston University, Merrimack, Notre Dame, and Harvard. Always forget that one. It's a little known university called Harvard.
And I went to Harvard, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Harvard Business School? Or just you just popped in?
Oh no, just pictured the gates.
Oh, sound. well done, mate. Well done. But yeah, that'll take place next November, and no doubt it'll be another fantastic tournament. Davey, thanks for joining us, mate. We'll speak to you on Tuesday. And a big thanks to Rob Fitzpatrick, Steve Thornton, Joe Britannia, and of course, Jeff Baum. We'll be back, as we say, next Tuesday to reflect on the last 2 weeks. But until then, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.